Welcome to Torah from JTS, a weekly commentary from the Jewish Theological Seminary.
Hello, my name is Alan Cooper. I'm the Elaine Ravitch Professor of Jewish Studies and the Provost of the Jewish Theological Seminary, and this is the weekly commentary on Parashat Tazria Metzora. WebMD, a commonly consulted internet source of medical information, devotes 3 pages to what it calls common skin rashes. The site takes up the symptoms, diagnosis, and treatment of eczema, granuloma annulare, and other conditions with unpronounceable scientific names. As for the etiology of the conditions, WebMD states in each case that the cause is unknown. Given the discomfort, discomfiture, and uncertainty that even mild skin eruptions can cause us nowadays, it should come as no surprise that they were a source of anxiety in ancient times as well. In this week's parasha, that anxiety finds expression amidst an array of concerns about the human body and its functions. The purity laws in Leviticus chapters 11 through 15, which digress from the narrative flow of the book, are concerned with diet in chapter 11, reproduction in chapter 12, and bodily integrity in chapters 13 through 15, including property as an extension of the person. In the context of the biblical cult, impurity arises out of a perceived deviation from a normal state, skin eruptions and bodily emissions serving as obvious cases in point. Rituals of purification either signify or effectuate a return from deviant to normal. The destruction of the temple and the concomitant end of temple sacrifice eliminated both the need to remain in a state of ritual purity and the means of attaining that state. The biblical conceptions of normalcy and deviance, moreover, became increasingly obscure or alien to post-biblical sensibilities. As a result, alternative interpretations of the purity laws arose early in the history of interpretation. At a glance, the opening chapters of Parashat Metzora seem like a biblical antecedent of WebMD. Leviticus chapter 13 describes the disfiguring symptoms of tzara'at, starting with a swelling, a rash, or a discoloration that develops into a scaly affection, quoting Leviticus chapter 13, verse 1. The text then goes into specific manifestations, instructing the priest as to the proper diagnosis in each case. Whatever condition is designated by the term tzara'at, it is not leprosy or Hansen's disease, a misunderstanding that may be traced to the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Torah. In any case, the priest's responsibility is not to identify the condition per se, but to determine whether or not it imparts impurity. In contrast to WebMD, Leviticus chapter 14 prescribes a course of ritual action, not medical treatment. The diagnostician is not a physician, after all, but a priest, and the rituals are to be undertaken only after the sores of the afflicted individual have healed. The purpose of the rituals is cultic purification, not medical treatment. Isaac Caro, a Spanish commentator from the generation of the expulsion, who lived from 1458 to 1535, addresses this point in his Toledot Yitzchak on Leviticus chapter 14, verse 2, where he writes that interest in the medical aspect of tzara'at is inappropriate for our holy Torah, which is concerned with spiritual ailments, not physical ones. Skin eruptions are the province of medicine, which is concerned with bodily health, b'riyut haguf, whereas the Torah's concern is with spiritual benefit, to'elet hanefesh. After an aside on the physical causes of skin diseases, Caro reiterates that they are not the Torah's subject matter. The Torah addresses tzara'at, he writes, to teach that human ailments have 2 causes, one material, mitzad hachomer, and the other spiritual, mitzad hanefesh. The Torah speaks only to the latter. A person of sound constitution whose affliction is spiritual does not have to go to a medical doctor, but to a healer of the spirit. Today's physicians are attentive to possible non-physical causes of disease, such as stress, anxiety, and depression, and many dermatological disorders have a psychosomatic component. According to the American Dermatological Association, studies link factors that affect our emotional well-being to an increase in skin, hair, or nail problems. Or as a practitioner puts it, a dermatologist's work would be incomplete if he or she did not consider and examine the whole patient, not only the physical body, but also the individual's mind, the psyche or the psychologic aspects, the soul. Lacking the resources and terminology of modern psychiatry to pinpoint the cause and potential cure of the spiritual malaise, Caro relies on the long-standing rabbinic notion that it is brought on by evil speech. He subdivides evil speech into three categories: statements that are malicious, even if true, lashon hara; secondhand gossip, rechilut; and outright slander, dibah. Then he argues with considerable ingenuity that three of the terms designated for the rituals of purification in Leviticus chapter 14, verse 4, are intended to provide reparation for the three forms of evil speech: the slaughtered bird for lashon hara, the live bird for dibah, and the crimson stuff for rechilut. Other texts offer broader and more general etiologies of tzara'at. Leviticus Rabbah 17:3 enumerates 10, possibly corresponding to the number of afflictions, nigaim, described in the parasha. The 10 causes are idolatry, illicit sex, bloodshed, profanation, blasphemy, embezzlement, theft of personal property, arrogance, evil speech, and casting the evil eye, each one of which the Midrash exemplifies with a biblical story. The author of Midrash Tadshei, chapter 16, boils them down to three: envy, referring to Miriam in Numbers chapter 12, greed, referring to Gehazi in 2 Kings chapter 5, and arrogance, Uzziah, in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Midrash Tadshei, incidentally, also known as Midrash Pinchas ben Yair, is a fascinating and unusual work probably composed in southern France sometime before 1000 CE. The online version of this commentary provides a link to a downloadable copy of the Hebrew text. Modern medicine is attentive to the relationship of mind and body. Our psychological state unquestionably affects our physical condition. As the American Psychological Association admonishes us, pay attention to what your body is telling you about the state of your mind. This week's parasha offers a similar lesson with respect to spiritual well-being. We must be attentive to what our bodies are telling us about the condition of our souls. The author of Midrash Tadshei asks why the priest is commanded to take two birds for the ritual of purification, slaughtering one and setting the other free, according to Leviticus chapter 14, verses 5 through 7. He asserts that the slaughtered bird, dead and buried in the ground, symbolizes an infirmity that is gone for good. The live bird, on the other hand, serves as a reminder that reverting to the behavior that brought on the ailment in the first place could engender a relapse. Just as the bird might return from the open country, so the affliction might recur. It therefore makes good sense to avoid thoughts, words, and actions that can trigger ill effects. Sound advice that is conveyed in an odd and intriguing way in Parashat Mitzorah as refracted through the lens of traditional commentary. Shabbat Shalom.
If you enjoyed this program, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. And discover JTS's other series by visiting jtsa.edu/podcasts. To learn with JTS faculty in live online classes, visit jtsa.edu/online. And you can get in touch with us by emailing onlinelearning@jtsa.edu. Thanks for listening.